Hear again the word of the Lord from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, babe. It's my wife. I know. Screams of mercy. I've had more of a screams of mercy day. How about you? I kind of like that. So I have a memory of when I was maybe 4 or 5, and we were in the grocery store shopping. I was with my mom and older sister, and I was holding on to my mom's leg, like you do, looking down at eye level, and just checking out the food and holding on to my mom's leg. And then all of a sudden, I found something I liked, so I looked up at my mom, you know, to show her what I wanted, and I realized it was not my mother who's... leg I was holding. Some very kind woman was just letting me do that, sort of awkwardly. She smiled down at me and realized that I was lost. And I remember that feeling, kind of panic, anxiety, a little 4-year-old, realizing I was lost. And in this big grocery store, I started running like this down the aisles, and I would run and then look down the aisle, and then run and then look down the aisle, and then run and then look down the aisle, and then run and then look, you know what I mean? And I finally found my mom. I finally found her. And when I found her, you know, it was kind of like, I mean, bless her. She was 22 years old, I think, with 2 kids, or 24 maybe, and she was probably 28 at that point, but, you know, it makes a better story if I say she was like 14. In her 20s. And, oh, there you are. There you are. I think the spirit of Lent is just realizing, man, we're lost. And turning back to God. And when we turn, and when God sees us, God, like a good father or like a good mother, says, there you are. Lent is a reminder that we wander off, amen? It's like most of us are not saying, God, I'm leaving. Most of us just find ourselves lost. 1,000 little decisions, and Lent is a journey back. So Lent starts with honesty. I love that verse in Psalm 51:6 that Mary read. When David writes, And this is, of course, after David was horrendously lost, having made some horrible decisions that affected lots and lots of people. David writes, "You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart." You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Here's an all-play question. What's your secret heart? Okay, shame might be there. Bob, thank you. What's your secret heart? You? You're your secret heart? You're my secret heart, buddy. What's your secret heart? Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. And I'm not sure who said that, but you guys had the same. Who said it over there? Deck. Thanks, Declan. The place that only God can see. There is a place that exists that only God gets access to in your spirit, in your soul, in your heart. There is a place that only God gets access to. No one else gets access to it. Only God. And it's in that place that God desires you to be as honest as you can be, because that is a place of safety. It's a place where God will teach you wisdom. It's a place where God will teach you mercy. It's a place where God will teach you that God is the kind of God that goes looking for you when you're lost. But God desires truth in that place. So Lent is a time to be honest about the places in your life, the areas in your life that you've gotten away from God, and you've left that secret heart place, and you've gone like all of us do to get satisfied elsewhere. And so it's a time, Lent is a time to ask ourselves, are there some secret addictions that we have that we're not telling anybody about? Is there a pattern of dishonesty in my life? Is there unresolved conflict that I'm just not moving toward because I just don't want to? Are you too busy and you're just not doing anything about it? Are you overly critical? Do you complain too much? Do you withhold things that you really could give? Do you give things that you really should withhold? What would it look like this Lent season in the safest place around, that secret heart where only God gets access, for you to begin to be honest about that stuff? Not to be overly introspective, not to wallow in shame, but just to say, Lord, here I am, and I'm lost, and I want to find my way back. Lent is a season to say the honest thing to God and maybe to another trusted person. And when we, later on in the service, in a few minutes here, Mary and I will put ashes on your forehead, and ashes carry the same meaning today as they did in the Hebrew scriptures. When someone covered themselves in ashes, it was an outward sign of an inward repentance and mourning. So the cry in Ash Wednesday and on Lent is, search us, O God, help us to face the sin patterns in our lives, and then forgive us. So then in Psalm 51, 1 and 2, we read these words, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So the question is, have you ever tasted God's forgiveness? I think when you go to God with honesty, and you're expecting for the hammer to come down, and instead you get abundant mercy. It's like being so hot on a summer day and diving into cool water. It's so beautiful and refreshing. When we're honest with God, we can experience the forgiveness of God. So Lent is the time to experience over and over again the forgiveness of God. And then it continues with practices that help us return to God. So here's an all-play question. What are spiritual practices? I'm not asking for examples of them, because that might be prayer or Bible reading or meals. What are spiritual practices for? That's a great answer, Elijah. Anyone else not know? Say it again. Practices for, say it louder. A new religion. Well, it could be that for sure, buddy. A practice is something you train doing so that you can eventually do later what you cannot now do. A practice is training. So you say, I want to be a more patient person. I want to be a person that's going to forgive my enemies. And so you might do some gratefulness practices. You might say, every day during Lent, I'm going to name out loud three things I'm grateful for. And that might enable you to be a more forgiving person. Or reading the Bible as a practice. It might be so that you can hear God's voice more clearly because you're more in God's word. So you do the training of being in God's word more so that in the moments that you most need to hear God's word and you can't hear it right now, and time, you can hear God's word. So in Lent is a time to do some practices that help you return to God. And so many of us are going to abstain from certain things. We're going to take a fast from certain things, like maybe chocolate. Or some of you crazy people are even going to do coffee. Unbelievable. Maybe social media, maybe TV or movies, maybe alcohol. No, I just heard a big no. No. That's George. I love George. Some of you are just going to be shopping, mindlessly surfing the internet. Whatever it is, it's something that you would do in order to place your attention and your desire more toward God than towards these other things that can't fulfill you. And then you might do some practices, so you do some fasting from whatever it is that you're fasting from. You might even fast from complaining or defending yourself. That'd be a good one. Fast from defending yourself for 40 days. Whew. That might teach you to be a more patient person, maybe a little more humble. And then you do some practices of returning. You might choose a time during the day. You might set an alarm on your phone a couple times, just to return to God, to bring your attention back to God. There might be a time every day that you pray or read scriptures or talk to other people about your experience of Lent. It might be a daily confession or daily examen, which is just answering two questions. Where was I partnering with God today and where was I on my own? Where was I full of life today and where was I drained of life? Where was I kind today toward myself? Where was I hateful toward myself? So we do these different practices because Lent is a time to be honest about our sin. It's a time to receive forgiveness from our sin from God. And it's a time to be intentional about putting some practices in our lives so that we can do later in our life, and maybe even later this year, maybe even by Easter, the things that we're just not able to do right now. And with God's help, with the Spirit of God sending us towards God, we can do the things that we can't do right now. That's the spirit of Lent. So in a couple minutes, we're going to receive the symbolic gesture of ashes on our forehead. We're going to acknowledge our human finiteness and mortality. No matter who we think we are, receiving the ashes reminds us that we're dust, and to dust we will return. And it's not to be overly morbid. That's just to remember that we came from nothing and we will return to God. And God has us in God's hands, and we can trust God. It's a time to limit our grandiosity. Anyone need our grandiosity limited a little bit? And it helps us to stay in touch with the real human condition that we all share. So we're going to pray, search me, O God, know me, lead me into the resurrection life. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we read now, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God." Yeah, sorry, it's not in your folders. See these scrambling liturgies. Where are we? Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and God relents from sending us calamity. So at this time, Mary and I are going to be on either side of the stage and come to either one of us, and we're going to make the sign of the cross on your forehead with ashes, and we're simply going to say, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." And some of you may want to just go right back to your seat. Some of you may want to come up here and just touch the cross. And Steve will play a song during this time. So let's pray, and then we will receive the ashes on our forehead. God, we know that we are dust, and we know that to dust we will return, and we know that you hold all of these things in your hands. And in this long march toward resurrection, give us the courage to be honest about our sin, to receive the forgiveness we so desperately need, and then to put intentional practices in place so that we can move closer and closer toward you with your help. In your name, amen.